Spirit of Fab, positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM, 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Okay, good evening to all listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. It's always a privilege to come your way. We thank God for another Saturday, and we've been on this interesting and worrying journey of discussing what's happening in our schools for the last 3 weeks, and tonight we are continuing. We are fortunate to have Pastor Billy joining us again, and we'll be having him talk again tonight as we continue. And this is Eben. From now till 9 p.m. I'll be with you, and we know so much is happening in the news, international news and all that, but because of this particular discussion we are having, that I need quite extensive time to get things talked about, we truncate the news discussion to just a few highlights, and so that we can have more time. You know, the 1 hour is not enough, so we'll just go through a few news items and we move on from there. All right, so what's happening in the news? The foreign news, you have the Russia-Ukraine war, the issues of the, you know, the U.S. is pushing for ceasefire and all that tension, the Hamas and the Israel issues too. So on, Trump has instructed that the Houthi rebels, I mean, the U.S. should attack them, fire them, and all that. I mean, there's no peace in the world. I mean, all these back and forth things. But there's this interesting piece I want to read this evening, and it's quite interesting. It's Wikipedia co-founder Larry Sanger announces conversion from skeptic to Christianity. And he says, the headline, the sub news is that for Larry Sanger, finding faith in God was a surprise, even to him. So he quotes says that if you did not know this change, and if you knew me before 2020, this might be a surprise. Unquote. Sanger, who co-founded Wikipedia, wrote in a recent blog post announcing his conversion to Christianity. In the post on his website entitled "How a Skeptical Philosopher Becomes a Christian," Sanger revealed how he had lost his childhood faith as a teenager and became a believer in methodological skepticism. Over the years, his views began to slowly change as he re-examined the arguments for the existence of God, ultimately leading him to read the entire Bible and convert to Christianity. In an interview with Fox News Digital, Sanger explained how his inquisitive nature led him to have doubts about God as a young adult, but later led him back to God and faith. And then he says that as a boy, Sanger said he often wore out the patience of his parents and other adults in his life by asking complicated theological questions. He remembers asking his parents one day, "What is the difference between mind, spirit, and soul?" But sometimes adult figures in his life had a hard time answering these questions. He remembers a certain pastor brushing him off after he posed theological questions, which left a bad impression on him and reinforced his skepticism towards God. As a teen, he came to the conclusion that a person's worldview shaped the decisions they made, for good or bad. He told himself he would only adopt beliefs he had good reason to believe were true, in order not to make the same catastrophic mistakes he viewed others in his life making. "I essentially raised all of my beliefs to the ground," Sanger told Fox News Digital. "That's what I told myself I was doing, and my belief in God went by the wayside at that time." Sanger's agnosticism was solidified in graduate school, he said, but pivotal events in his life spurred him to re-examine some of these beliefs. After getting married and having his first child, he began to question his previous belief in rational self-interest, for example. "I realized that I would be willing to die for these people. If I was willing to die for my wife and child, then I would be acting in their interest, not my interest. Then I thought, well, if I'm going to throw out my belief, what else was Ayn Rand wrong about then?" He said. After several years, Sanger said his doubts about God began to fall away. He even found himself defending Christians in response to what he saw as an increasingly hostile attitude from atheists towards Christian beliefs. He also became intrigued by the occult and the idea of spirit world. This curiosity led him to read the Bible cover to cover in about 100 days to understand its message from a Christian perspective. At the same time, he began to re-examine arguments for the existence of God, such as the argument from causality and arguments from contingency and arguments from design, and came to believe that these arguments fit together like pieces of jigsaw puzzle. To his surprise, Sanger found the Bible could understand his questioning. "I discovered to my shock and consternation that it actually makes a lot more sense than I understood. That all the questions that I had asked before had been asked by other people and answered in various ways. Some are more plausible than others. Nevertheless, there's a whole tradition of asking more questions and many more that I hadn't asked," Sanger told Fox News Digital. The thing that I hadn't understood is that the reason why there's a 2,000-year-old tradition of theology is that the Bible withstands questioning. If it didn't, you wouldn't be able to go on talking about it in such a detail and the doctrines behind it," he continued. He started to pray to God and eventually accepted Christ as his Savior in 2020. Sanger admitted that he was initially stunned by his conversion. "He's been relatively quiet about his faith until now," he said, "because he wanted to feel prepared to articulate his faith and defend it." I like this one. Defend it. Defend the faith. You know, that's apologetics. It's something that is missing. A lot of Christians cannot defend. They don't even know what they are believing to even defend it. The Wikipedia co-founder said that he has been working for several years on a book project compiling the arguments for the existence of God entitled "God Exists: A Philosophical Case for the Christian God." I took this news when I saw it. I was interested in it because there is this aspect of parents and pastors not being able to answer his questions. And that was actually what moved him off as a teenager from Christianity. And that's very worrying. Because you see, this is the issue of being prepared to answer spiritual things. And even if you don't, we are not all knowing as believers, matured believers or whatever. We are not all knowing. But the way you respond, okay, I'll get back to you on it. Hold on, I'll respond. But if you just brush it off as if, oh, this thing is not necessary, clearly you raise doubt because the person is already having doubts in their mind, questions moving through their mind and all. So if you also make it seem like this God crap, you are not even sure, then you confirm his beliefs. Because the person is already hearing things in school and friends, and atheists are defending and saying all the things. So if you try to also run away from talking about your God, then this your God is not even worth following. And this what's happened in this case. And I believe it's a lesson for parents. We should build ourselves to the point of ensuring that we can be the first point of call for our children in spiritual matters. And even if we can't, we should know the appropriate response and good referrals to help them. Because if we just brush it off, be assured that they will get the answer somewhere else. And the answer they will get may not be pleasant. And this is where we should be careful as parents. All right, so tonight, before we delve in with Pastor Billy Bonsu, let me start with this talk first. I mean, a pastor came to the studio today to do a program, and when he finished, I was at the reception, so we were chatting, and SU came up. I mean, because he spoke about SU doing his program, was talking about SU, praising SU and the work SU is doing and all that. So I mean, discussing these things, then he gave me a worrying scenario or a case that happened in one of the schools in the region, in which a mother took the son to the boarding house, form one, admitted, you know, he's gotten admission. And so upon arrival, removing the things from the car, a teacher, I mean, this is God sense. I mean, how all in that we have been. So this teacher goes to the mother. Apparently, the boy is handsome and all that. So the teacher tells the mother that he begs the mother to not to let the boy come to the boarding house by virtue of, you know, I mean, he being a handsome boy. And it's like, what? I mean, you know, you hear something and it's like, come on, how? What are you hearing? The mother, I mean, you've done your shopping for form one, go and buy your cutlass and all. You bought all the things you are bringing to school, and they say somebody is saying that take your son to home, let the boy be about a day student. And for whatever reason, we have this high standard classification for boarding house, so it's as if that's the best form of education. And but the mother, apparently a Christian, felt within, well, this is a good decision. Well, reluctantly accepted. Years down the line, the boy finishes school, has finished university, you know, and told the mother that his group of friends who were going to the school, the form ones, he was the one who didn't go to the boarding house, but all his friends that went to the boarding house, they are all gays now. And I mean, this is serious. This is serious. That means if this boy too had gone, he would also have become. So the teacher, I mean, was God sent to save this boy. Now the question is, so the other boys, what happened? They fell into the system. This is the issue we are dealing with in our school system. I mean, we can pretend and be like ostriches. Oh, all is well. Yes, I mean, they are doing well in school. They are getting the A1s and whatever, the B2s. But beside these things, the moral life is very, very corrupted. And it's very unfortunate. This week, I mean, I did a lot of talking this week. I mean, I spoke to a teacher in one of the schools, too, in the region, a girl's school. And the teacher was lamenting as to how the teachers want to bring order in the school, like control the students, and the headmistress doesn't seem to care. Oh gee, yes. So you, and to the point where this head teacher has called or calls the students, tells them that no teacher can punish them, empowering them to be, you know, whatever they want to be. So it's like weakening their hands as teachers. And you see, it's serious what is happening in the school. You see, so when you have these satanic agents and, I mean, whatever you call them, they are even perpetrating and encouraging the evil works to go on the more. And someone too who works in under school also told me this week that the same thing, they go to a meeting, staff meeting, teacher says that, I mean, headmaster, we have to do something about the students. At least those who are finishing, and let's start from the form ones. to bring discipline. Headmaster, sorry. So you then makes it a foolish case. You see, so clearly you realize the devil always has agents in the system who are weakening the hands of those who want to bring sanity, mm-hmm. and, you know, try to mitigate the evil that is going on. So this is the reality on the ground. Yeah. And I believe as parents, when you hear these things we are talking about, it should then give you the interest to be more serious in your children at school. So, yeah, from your point now, let's continue from your point.
Well, thank you very much. Greetings to listeners. I think for the past 3 weeks, they've been listening to us, and we also get reports from some parents that they are really learning a lot from this program, because they are getting a lot of information which they didn't know. Mm-hmm. Yes, so it's a wake-up call for parents. We want to thank. We also want to thank you and thank Spirit FM for giving us the opportunity, I mean Scripture Union, to bring to light some of the things that are happening to the schools, that are happening in the schools, which parents are not aware. So we want to thank Spirit FM and Issues of Life for this opportunity. Just a quick recap of some of the things that have been happening, which we have discussed over the past week. For the benefit of those who have not listened to the program, Scripture Union goes to schools to do a lot of programs. One of them is the missions, and we go there for 3 days missions, where we go and have time with them and pray for them, preach to them, and win them for Christ. And we also take them through counseling. We do a lot of follow-ups. So if you are a mature Christian who have the young people at heart and want to be involved in missions work, you can join us so that we can help these young ones. Because when you go to the schools, we get a lot of people coming for counseling. Unfortunately, our numbers are limited, so we are not able to really help all of them. They need a lot of help. So if you really want to come on board, just join us and we will let you know when we are going for programs. But back to the main issue, I think that churches need to wake up, especially Sunday school teachers and youth pastors. We really need to do proper orientation for them to understand the times that we are in, and for them to know things that are happening. We need to go beyond just the stories, but we need to let them know the realities on the ground, so that they will be well informed in order to help these young ones to have strong foundation in the Lord. Because if the foundation is weak, what are they building on? So they don't have strong foundation. That is why their moral character is not too good. So we really want to say that Sunday school teachers, pastors really need to organize proper orientation for Sunday school teachers, for youth pastors, for teen pastors, so that they'll be well equipped to handle these young ones. Quick recap on some of the things that we have discussed. Now, if you are a parent and your child is going to school, one of the things that they use to get them is a gift that they give to them. So parents should caution their children to be very careful receiving things like perfume, body lotion, provisions, ring and necklace from their colleagues, because these are some of the things that they use. You know, when you meet them and we are doing counseling, these are some of the issues that come up. You know, sometimes the child may not want to go into what others are in, but then they also use this bring provisions and other things to woo them into or charm them to join them. One of the things that is also becoming so common, just like Simon was saying, is the gayism in the schools. It's become very common in the schools, simply because if you are a tutor, you are a housemaster, and you want to punish a student, GES policy does not allow you to do that. And they will tell you that you need to come with evidence. If you don't prove beyond doubt, there's no way you can really punish such a child. So this has given them the opportunity to really get a lot of people on board. So in our counseling, we meet a lot of young boys who are gays and they want to stop. They have become so addicted. And for some of them, you know, they do it and they want to go beyond outside their school. The person might be the lady or a guy, mm-hmm. and you know, they will do it in their school and they go beyond their school. So during interco or when schools come together, so they also go there. As they are going for sports, they are going for athletics, they also go there to go and look for girls or boys in other schools. And when they are on vacation, that is where they meet. The other thing which we talked about, which is also becoming common in the schools, this one is for the ladies, is where people impregnate them and then they send them to their doctors for abortion, and they use the baby for ritual purposes. So they intentionally give them a lot of money, they impregnate them, and they say, I have a doctor who will take care of EX. But when the doctor does it, the abortion, then they use for spiritual purposes. And the money they give to these young ones is so huge, according to them, is so huge. Just to get them. The other thing which we also talked about is the menses, when they are also having their menses. Some of them also sell their part. When they have their menses, they also sell their part to people for ritual purposes. They sell, some sell.
Seriously, of all the things we've discussed in the last 3 weeks, that's the most ridiculous thing to hear. Because, I mean, it shows how depraved people have become. That because of money, people will do anything. It's serious. I mean, that one was the most serious thing to hear that they are doing in schools. And the question is, for what? Money.
For money.
And if you are doing push, what the money is to be used for? Number one on the list will be phone.
Yeah.
And that's a very serious issue.
Yeah, so they sell their pass. I know, I think was it last year when we came here? I mean, we talked about the fact that people were going around picking, they have connections with school cleaners so that they can. But this time around, it is the girls
in the baller.
The girls themselves
willingly.
Yes, selling it. And when we also talked about this rainbow party, when girls are having their menses, they go out to meet men, they will lick their blood for ritual purposes. They give them a lot of money. And when you have discussion with them, these things have really had effect on some of the girls.
It would.
And they are now, you know, they will tell you that when they sleep, people will come and sleep with them. They will see pattern. Others will say that we will see this, we see that. So they are scared now. But before that, nothing was happening. So they are having a lot of strange dreams. Just because somebody licked their menses.
This is serious.
Because they will use it for spiritual purposes. Yeah. And we also have some of them who get sick often. After going through this process, they also get sick often. They'll go to hospital, they will examine them, they will not know
anything.
And they will not tell their parents their cause.
Yeah. Because it's a spiritual thing
thing. And if somebody goes through this and the person is old enough, gets married, do you think this person is going to give birth?
And somebody's innocent, some son somewhere is looking for a wife, and we'll go and find. You see, what makes. I remember I was at a program sometime, forgotten this which particular program, and someone said, I see, when we address these issues in the schools and parenting and all that, some parents think, well, if somebody is being careless with their upbringing, well, it's up to them. He says, no, it goes beyond somebody's home or somebody's failure. Because at the end of the day, your innocent one that you are bringing up, doing everything well to protect and whatever, are the same people. Because even this life, I mean, it's not an isolated life alone. Intermingling will happen. You will meet friends, you interact and all. One day, these same people who are the bad nuts, we call them whatever, are the ones who would eventually be your daughter or your son's roommate at the university. You see, so it's not like, oh, it'll be the end. Well, it's my back is. Eventually, it can become as close as to you as you can imagine. So this thing is a holistic issue which can affect, it can come close to any of us in unimaginable ways.
Yes.
These same people we are talking about are the future in-laws and whatever potential in-laws one day to parents that think these things are, oh, somebody's kid, so it's not about me.
Yeah, so you cannot say the unconcerned. Okay. It's not. Recently there was an issue. A young lady, virgin, got married.
Mm-hmm.
No, got to the university. I mean, saw somebody. They were friends, and after school, the lady got, I mean, they got married.
Yeah.
Now, this boy started taking aphrodisia to have sex with people from SS.
Mm-hmm.
And he used that to university. So when he saw this lady, he said he never had sex with a lady. Now, after school, they got married.
Oh, the generation.
And this guy cannot perform. So they don't know whether they should.
The consequence of these things. So.
Yes. So this young lady who is a virgin now, who has been a virgin, and if you are the mother of this young girl, you sit down unconcerned. Now, somebody has brought an issue which is going to affect you. Because now they got married, I think, about 3 months. They realize that, I mean, there's no way the guy can really.
Hi.
So, it was his friend who told me.
Wow.
So, you cannot sit there unconcerned. Another thing that is happening is the underground parties.
Mm.
The club, where they have underground. Here in Kumasi, we have places.
Underground.
So, they run away from school. You think that your girl is in school. Your girl is in school. Especially those who have body. Yes. The slim ones. I mean, some of them go, but those who have some small body. those are the ones who are targets. And they run away from school, especially weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They run away from school. They come and party. So you can go to a place. And you think that, I mean, you see people sit there, but they have underground place. That is where, when you go there,
all the bad things are happening.
So your child is in school. That is what you may think. But a child will be somewhere underground, partying the whole night.
This issue. So now we are looking at, I mean, from today or tonight, we can't exhaust it. We are going to look at the role of parents in all these things we've been exposed to. And I was thinking about this whole thing. Of course, as a Christian program, we can't leave out the Bible. And one thing that the first thought was, I mean, if you are looking at case studies in the Bible of children who, even though were independent, had to leave home, were still able to stand their ground. We have Joseph as one example, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel as another set of examples. These characters were in their teens and they left home. Their parents were not with them. but they were able to stand the temptations that came their way. I mean, let's look at, for instance, Joseph as a first point. The sexual exposure that he was, I mean, he had to confront Mrs. Potiphar. And I mean, that time I was telling some people that, see, by all intents and purposes, you can assume that the woman would be very beautiful, because a top ranking officer, and Egyptian, if you read about their history and all that, clearly, the officers, the king and all, they pick the best. So a beautiful woman tempting or seducing Joseph would have been something out of this world. I mean, and I was sad, for instance, when a Sunday school teacher once sent me a message that raised the topic in Sunday school, asked the youth or the teenagers, so if it were you, what would you do? And they said, this one day. They were laughing. It's like, opportunity
has brought itself.
And this is the generation we are in. This is the, let's comment on from the Joseph concept or Joseph scenario vis-a-vis what is happening, because they are all, it's the same exposure to temptation.
The good news is that we still have people
who
we call Joseph in our generation. In spite of what is happening in the schools, there are people who still stand on their grounds and say that we are not going to do this. So we talk to them. You meet, they are in the same dormitory. They know them, the same house, they know them, and yet they don't get themselves involved in some of these things. And it tells you that some parents are doing very well. One of the things that I think that help is when the father is involved. You know, leaving the child upbringing to mothers alone brings a whole lot of issues. I think recently, some women advocates were saying that they should change in US, they should consider changing some of their laws, because now the law supports women, and a lot of women are leaving their husbands and they are getting a lot of properties, and after getting the properties and getting the money, they lose their children. So they have a lot of their children going to prisons. They have gotten the money, the law has supported them, they have gotten the money, they have gotten the property,
but
they are losing their children, and their children are going to prison. So they should change that law so that the child upbringing wouldn't be only the responsibility of the mother, but both. Because research has shown that most of the people who are in jail or in prison, as a result of single parenting. Yes. And it's not the fathers who are parenting them, it's the mothers.
Wow.
So if the fathers are involved, it brings discipline. So we shouldn't leave the upbringing the training of the children to the mothers alone. When a father goes to visit the child in school, it brings some fear, because they know, I mean, father has that authority and that power. That covers the whole family. So most often they don't have, I mean, any fear when they come to between the, especially the boys and their mothers, you know, they don't really have any fear. But when the father is involved, you know, they have that thing. So the upbringing of the children should be both. Fathers, we know fathers are busy going to look for money, but you should, if you can't go and look for money to raise
at
a child, when at the end of the day you lose the child. So fathers should go and visit their children most often. I remember years ago, one of the girls' schools, I had gone there, SU meeting, I had gone there, and it was their visiting hours. Then the father is a minister of the gospel, and I knew when the child was at JHS, I knew. And so, then I think we had closed from Scripture Union meeting, and I was going home, and I saw a reverend minister coming, and I went to him. I said, "Ada, welcome." And I said, "Please help me. I sent for your sister, but she said she won't come. I said, why? Not knowing that, I think that was when they were running SSC for the 4 year.
Oh, that period.
Yes, uh-huh. When he dropped a girl in that school, he never stepped there. Until the 4th year, when the girl was about to complete.
Oh, so you've neglected me.
Yes. So this year, when they said that your father is in, he said it's not true.
Oh, okay.
When they said the father is here,
believe.
He said that it's not true. Then later, she got to know that yes, it was the father. But she sent someone and said that I'm not coming today.
Wow.
So I have to send for that girl to come. I sent somebody, I said, I am calling her, so he should come. Hey. So she came, and in front of the father, she told the father that had it not been me, she wouldn't have come.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
So
<That's serious.
laughs> and this is happening. Sometimes we think that money does everything.
Yeah.
No. Our presence is really, really important.
Yeah,
just like the issue you told us. Now, where was the father? If the mother was not spiritually filled,
yeah,
she would have ignored this advice by the teacher. But if the father was there, the father would have listened. The woman listened because the woman is a spirit-filled person.
Yeah.
That is why she listened. But most women wouldn't have listened. But if the father was around, the father would have listened. So the father should be involved. We should also pray for them. We should pray for and with them. You don't only pray for them. You also pray with them so that they will also inculcate that habit in them, develop that habit of prayer, because prayer, that's a lot. In fact, most of the young ones, when you go to the schools, most of them who are able to withstand some of these issues are people who are prayerful. Young people who read their Bible. So you ask them, do you have daily power, which the scripture union sells to them. You ask them, do you use your daily power? Do you pray? And most of those people who say, yes, we do this, because sometimes we can ask you, what was the passage for today? And they will tell you. Yeah. And realize that these are the ones most often they are able to withstand. Because a weapon, I mean, it's a shield.
Yeah.
It's a protector. It helps you to defend against some of these things. So those who are able to withstand, so teach them to pray. Teach them. And they learn from the parent. When the parents come together to do quiet time with them, to do Bible studies with them, then they learn. But in the house, parents don't read Bible. Parents don't even pray.
Yeah,
they only pray when they go to church.
Also.
After church, as a matter of fact, some of them even don't remember where they are. They don't know where they've put their Bible. Bibles. They look for it on Sundays. And these days, when we have Bibles on our tablet and phones, so most people don't even know where their Bibles are. So how can this young one who is not using maybe phone or tablet in school study the word of God, because it is not practiced in the house? So how can this young one? So young ones are able to really, really stand against some of these things when they are prayerful, when they study the Bible, when they learn from their parents. So what are they learning from them?
The morale, the spiritual.
So that is what they also carry on.
And the parents are also praying for them.
For them.
I mean, now it's I mean, there's no day. I mean, praying for your children is a daily ritual. It should be every day. Now you should pray for your children even more than yourself.
Definitely.
Oh yeah. I mean, I pray for my children more than myself. I mean, because where we are now, the contending forces, it's not something to joke with. The parents should see it as a world war and attach all seriousness to it. Because if you just trivialize it as, school life there, I mean, those type of flimsy generalization, school life, boys, then you don't see the seriousness of the issues at stake. Before we started the program, I was telling Pastor Billy that over the years, we've had bad boys and bad girls in schools all through the years. I mean, it's not like to hear that we have a bad boy, a bad girl in school, it's not strange to some extent. But the level and the difference now is completely different from years back when we were in school. Because now the immaturity compounded with the freedom vis-a-vis the GES lukewarmness as to giving them that freedom to misbehave and not be punished and all that, their maturity has made it even more serious for them, because it's like an immature person who has been given freedom, they can't handle it. So now they have become extremely in everything, they've gone to the SS in drug use, in the occultism, in the sexualized, all the sexuality, everything is worse than years back. Far. And as a parent, if you don't see these issues as serious enough to be concerned, then you are in a serious trouble. Because if you assume, it's not a serious issue, it is. Because today, the pastor who told me about the school issue, the mother who had to take the son to the day to make the Sunday and all that, made a statement that years back, they thought that people got spoiled at the universities, but now they get spoiled at the secondary schools before they even get to the universities. And I say, yes, that's the reality now, because that's the foundation. That's where they get they learn all the bad things. They pick the habits, they learn all the bad things at secondary school. So by the time they get to the universities, they're already well fleshed into the cult groups they are joining or whatever lifestyle they are joining. It's just a continuation. So parents, really, we need to have a different mindset about the times we are in. Prayer, the word, these two things, we cannot ignore them.
And to add to what you just said about the prayer, you know, when they use the physical things to get you into it by giving you things, and if they are not able to, then they go spiritual, and that is what is happening now. If they use a physical thing, gift, and other things, then they are not able to get you. And we've had cases where they say that sometimes they will demonstrate how powerful they are. They can make a chair move from here to this side.
Yeah.
In class.
Dog calls guys.
Yes. So they show their powers.
Yeah.
They demonstrate it for the student to see. So the girls want protection, or some of the boys also want to become so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get this power? Then they introduce you into it. Those who don't want to go into it, then they will use the same power. Before you realize, then you are doing it. We've had cases where people resisted, that they didn't want to do this. Before they realized, they were into it. All because people use their powers to really bring them on board.
You've reminded me of one case at a school somewhere in the central region area. And they use food to initiate people into the gay groups. So they give you food, umcho or whatever. So there was a case where a boy got the food, and after eating it, so went to this friend who is a teacher and told him that after eating this food, he's having some funny feelings.
Yes.
And apparently that's one of the ways they get people. So they give you the food. That means these foods they've done the projection into it, they've said all the things into it. So it's bewitched. And you know, boys and food most times.
Yeah.
You take it, there is no serious prayer over it. A person, if the person is not spiritually strong, two, the person will pray just some casual prayer. I mean, may not even pray at all. So clearly then the problem comes in. So food.
Yeah, they use food. So if you're a parent and you don't pray when you are eating with your kids, and oh, blessed, blessed, amen. Oh Lord, you know. Amen. You see, when you do this, when they also get it, they also do the same.
Yeah.
And this is what they are also using to get them. They are using food to get, they are using provisions to get them.
Yeah.
When people give them gift, they should pray over it.
No, the issue now, one of the things, as we go on, God will next week or whatever, we'll be talking more about it. One of the topics we should take as parents to really address with our children is the issue of being content with whatever. I mean, you see, having is one thing. Not having, the fact that you don't have does not mean you should allow yourself to be a weapon, the devil to just use you or whatever. Because, I mean, all through the years, we've had all types of societal, economic levels. Those who are rich are rich, the poor, the middle. All hands are not the same, as we say. And there are people who were very poor in secondary school, but they were able to the little money to finish. Now some have become big people and all that. But we are having a generation that thinks that as for poverty, the fact that they are poor means they should overturn things overnight. Magic. I mean, the fact that the parents are poor, as for me, the child, no way. I'm not going to accept this overnight. I have to. So you have children whose parents are poor. They go to secondary school, and within a few whatever days or weeks, their lives have transformed because of the association, the people they associate with. Because the mindset is, I want to change as quickly as possible. And that's where the danger, because they are not content with the little they have. So he went to school with one tin of milk. He's not content with it.
Yes.
Somebody has come with a curtain. That means, no, I have to associate with this person.
And that's where they get them. That's so they will give you more. They will give you more. And then they will say that we want to teach you how you can also get more yourself. And the other thing is also when, the parents who are not able to say no to their children, they have to give them whatever they ask for, so that they think that they will not go outside and go and beg.
That's also the other
side. So when the child runs into trouble, they are not able to really stand firm. Mm-hmm. Then they want to resort to anything that will help them to survive.
But it's the teaching. Teaching them to be content.
I
heard of a case where a mother went to visit the daughter in the girl's school in Kumasi here. And the girl warned the mother that, she shouldn't come with Uber to come and visit her. Warned though. And was furious with the mother, all that. Why do you have to come to visit me with Uber? If you don't have a car, is it a crime? But you see, this girl has projected herself and the class type of thing. So the mother coming with Uber means this is a substandard below me. We've heard of people who tell people that their mothers are housemaids and their fathers are a driver and all, because they feel shy to identify that these are their parents. It's a very worrying thing. And it comes back to the point that what teaching did the parents do regarding livelihood, the social issues at home, discussions, because these things must be taught at home, must be taught at church. So if it's, ultimately, if the church is not doing it, ultimately it's the home that should be the starting point.
Yes.
But even if the home is failing, the church should not also fail. Because now we are not even talking about these things in churches again.
No.
Contentment. Because rather, we become so materialistic that contentment is even seen as, if you have some pastors preaching that if you are poor, that means you are living in sin. Come on, what type of, so if you have such, a preacher telling you that if you are poor, that means you are living in sin, would this preacher even talk about contentment? Because to be content with your little means you are even living in sin. Oh no, 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 this generation.
I think another thing which parents should, those who have given phones to their children, they use it to video themselves and send to guys. And they are making money out of it. They are using it to blackmail them.
Oh yeah.
So the phones that they are giving, parents are giving to their children, these are some of the things that they use. Apart from using for phone sex, they use it, so let me see this part, let me show you this, this, and that. They will video it. Sometimes they will ask them to video and send it to them. And they will use it to blackmail them. They will say that if you don't come and have sex with me, yeah, I will show this. And they have no option than to go. So that's also another thing. And one of the things that has also health effect is the
shisha, whatever, that smoking thing.
When they go for party, the ladies smoke a lot, and this has health implication. Mm-hmm. If you're a young one and you start doing this, yeah, by the time you are done with your education,
yeah,
I mean, you may have some issues.
And even now, the e-cigarette.
Yes.
It looks like pen, colored pencil, colored pen, but it's e-cigarette.
Yes.
Last week or last 2 weeks, I read an article in which now they are confirming that the effect is the same as regular.
The normal, yes.
So it's just the packaging that looks deceptive. They hide it because if you are holding it, it looks like you are holding a colored pen.
Yeah.
And but then people are using, and the smoke doesn't come like the,
yes,
so but e-cigarettes, I mean, electronic cigarettes, but I mean, is it, I don't know, as to what people want to achieve in life, parents need to really settle their children to talk about. You see, there are many homes where these things you are talking about, there's no communication, the communication gap is broken. So parents don't talk about the social vices of their children. It's all about, well, you are going to school, how much do you need, blah blah blah. It's all about just, I can feed you, I can clothe you, I can provide for you, that is it. But there's no parenting. If it's about, if this is parenting, then dogs that give birth and cater for their little children are also doing parenting.
And the dog issue,
mm-hmm,
you know that some of them, you know, they also, the people in Kumasi that makes their dogs sleep with some of the girls, and they have money that they give to them. It's happening here, yeah, not in Dubai.
Yeah, Boka. Hey!
The school girls, some of them, they go out to sleep with dogs, and the money they are getting from that.
Kumasi here, not in Dubai.
No, you know, not outside Ghana. Here in Ghana.
That's for the Dubai one. I've read about.
No, it's happening here in Ghana.
I know it's happening.
And it's happening. Some are happening here in Accra. Some are happening in Kumasi.
Yeah,
our girls in school, they go. People are introducing them to this.
Hey.
So a lot of things are happening. So parents should wake up. Churches should also wake up, because we are not living in normal times.
Abnormal.
Things that are happening in the schools, you don't understand it.
I felt sad when I heard the parents say once that, hey, when we were going to school, our parents didn't come and visit us. So we can't be visiting you, like that's visiting the child. Like, you see, we have to understand the dynamics of parenting has changed. I mean, I keep saying this all the time when we are treating digital parenting and all these things. If we want to go by the model our parents used, the same formula, there's the good parts, yes, the moral upbringing, those ones are all good, we can maintain and even improve. But when it comes to some things like, your parents didn't visit you when you were in school, secondary school, so you there, you will not visit your children as they will want you to come. You are in error, because when their parents didn't visit you, the level of the things we've been discussing in these 4 weeks, were they happening in your time at school? No.
There was no hookups in schools.
It wasn't
happening. No phone. So yes, how can
that's even a starting point. No,
so how can you use phone to do hookah?
Because so if you say you want to go by that measure, then clearly you are going to fail, because the times we are in now. I mean, I have a friend. I mean, should they, even if every they say every day she should visit. Even sometimes I just, hey, this lady. I mean, she wants to, every week she wants to go. But you see, it's understandable. Knowing where we are now and how the society has become, sometimes those who want to be overprotective, you can't blame them, because you see, the world has become so evil that she's a single parent, not by her fault, so she has to do everything possible within her means to ensure that the children are kept safe, you see. And this is what we should be doing, because yes, you cannot go every day, you cannot go every week, but then as often as possible, we should take advantage of it.
And when you go there, you don't say that I've visited my child. You need to ask teachers. You need to get some of the classmates to also ask them.
Mm-hmm.
That is what you're supposed to do, so that you know the real child that you have on campus. Because it's not just a matter of, oh, I've visited, how are things, and no. You need to find out how... Mm-hmm. Is the how do you call it, the behavior of my child on campus, which group does he even belong, does she or he belongs to on campus, because some of the groups are not the normal groups that we know.
But then we also have a complicated issue when it comes to even that one, because let's assume a good boy, quote and unquote, who is supposed to be good but is joining the occult group,
mm-hmm.
and is a terror in school or a terror in the dorm, would anyone dare say to the parents that your son is in the occult, knowing well that if the son is too, I mean, as an example, those who are powerful,
mm-hmm.
I mean, exhibit power, show of force and all that, hey, make okay. So
last week or last 2 weeks when I was talking to, during the counseling, when I was talking to some of them, I asked if they can invite or give me names of some of the occult masters in their, they say, hey, no, they were afraid. they were afraid.
They won't.
In the same dormitory, they were afraid to even just give me the names.
They won't. Yeah, they won't.
But I think that if you ask the teachers, and if you, I mean,
when the teachers, you pray God. They may not even know what is happening at all. Some are in the dark completely.
And some are also agents who also take their girls. I mean, they give them to the men for.
I mean, you see, this whole thing now means, as a parent, your ultimate responsibility is to pray. And pray and pray. I mean, prayer should be the primary agenda now as a parent, praying for your children. There's a book that I have, I'll look for it, one of the PDFs I have, but it's praying for your teenagers.
Mm.
It's a very good prayer. I mean, the whole book is prayer. I mean, prayer points, very good prayer. I mean, book. I'll share it for those on my broadcast list. So if you're interested, just type hi and then I'll send it to you. It's a PDF. And you see, prayer, because it talks about various times, praying for their future, praying for their future, even spouses. And it's all, these are all prayers we should be praying, because if we are praying for their future spouses, that future spouse is in another girl's school right now, who is being tempted to be a lesbian.
Yes.
So the prayers today can avert the issues, the complications of the issues. That future spouse is selling, willing to, being tempted to go and sell things that would affect her virginity. You see, so one day you have to be leading your child to prayer camps to pray for a baby. And you see, it's a whole complicated thing now we find ourselves in as parents. We just can't think that, oh, as for me, I'm protecting my family, they are fine.
No.
It goes beyond that. How we pray for them should now be well connected, because whoever will come into their lives is something we should pray for. Their roommates. I have this friend, the daughter went to first year this year. she was praying seriously for the roommates the girl will have at the university. And thank God she had a whole set of serious Christians as roommates. You see, because she was praying seriously for it. But how many parents bother to pray about such a thing? Oh, my daughter is going to university. You don't care about who is going to be the roommate. Because who your daughter becomes or your son has as roommate goes a long way in their lives. It's a major, major issue. If they are bad people, they can recruit your... So we shouldn't take these discussions as just on the surface. We should learn. The knowledge we are getting from this discussion should now be infused into how we pray and guide us into how we to pray for them and whatever connections and all, because now we know how extensive this thing has become and how the networks are operating.
Yes,
it should guide us in how we pray. As for the time, the way it flies, 1 hour so soon. All right, listeners, it's not my fault. I don't control the time. It's but it was recorded. It will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and then to the Telegram group. For those online, you missed the first. The internet was misbehaving a bit the first 10 minutes or so. But it will be uploaded. You get the full recording to listen to. So we thank Pastor Billy Bonsu for joining us. And this is Eben. God bless you for joining and listening. God willing, we'll be continuing next week. Thank you and good night.
To the New Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
Status report!
Squad 1 is pinned down in Sector 7, sir. The supplies are getting low. Casualties are at 35%.
Radio Squad 2 to pull back and regroup with Squad 1 in Sector 7.
Urgent message coming in from Squad 2, sir.
What is it?
This is Bravo 3 to Squad 2. Please repeat. Over. They want a pizza, sir.
What?
No anchovies.
In the midst of life's battles, what do you pray for?
So what they say?
We're supposed to regroup with Squad 1 in Sector 7.
No, what about the pizza?
They said, no.
Oh, man. Squad 1 asked for reinforcements and we have to go help. I ask for a simple pizza and I get nothing.
The Bible says when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Are you seeking God's will in your prayers? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
I can do